I do thank you very much for the invitation. I thank Earl for making arrangements for this. I'm here sort of an ad hoc basis, you might say, because we're still getting going in this new Congress. Let me first start off by telling you, as chairman of the Commerce Committee, Senator Noy and I have followed the procedure we've followed on the Appropriations Committee, the Defense Subcommittee, and we are co-chairmen of this committee. That means that we check everything with him, and he checks everything with me. And Lisa Sutherland is our chief of staff. She works very closely with Dan's people. We do not expect to have the kind of partisan rancor that's occurred in the past on this committee at times. I have served on a Commerce Committee, I think, longer than any Republican in history now, and it's been really I'm pleased to have the opportunity to share this role with my friend from Hawaii. One of the things that we've started is something I started years ago in the Commerce Committee, actually in the minority, when Senator Magnuson was chairman, and that is these listening sessions. Some people don't understand them, but just briefly, let me tell you, I wanted to take on the problem of trying to solve some of our athletes' problems in the Olympics. It happened that we had some problems of really bad results as far as our people being disqualified and very little opportunity to deal with them because we at that time did not have a National Olympics Committee. We dealt just strictly straight out with the individual groups dealing with the International Olympic Committee. And Senator Glenn Beall of Maryland decided he would introduce a bill to solve that problem, and he ran into a fight with the AAU. And he was defeated. So the next Congress, Marlo Cook of Kentucky decided he would take it on. He ran into a fight with the NCAA, and he was defeated. On the third Congress, my good friend and neighbor from the South, from Seattle, Chairman Magnuson, who used to call me son, he said, "Son, someone's got to take this out and solve it. I want you to do it." And we were all in the minority, by the way, just to show it that times are a little different then. And I said, "Well, Warren, I thought you liked me. The other two have already gone." But I said, "Okay, I'll do it if you'll let me do one thing, and that is no hearings until we're ready to have hearings." And he said, "Do whatever you want." So we had listening sessions for about 9 months. And we met around the country, as a matter of fact. I took staff of the chairman. We went throughout the country and listened to people tell us of the problems they'd had in the Olympics. And we devised a bill, made up a consensus group from those listening sessions. And when I finally introduced it, we did have a hearing one day. The bill went to the floor and passed the Senate without amendment, went to the House and passed the House without amendment, and it became law. Now, I'm a firm believer that these hearings we hold only have merit once we know the questions to be asked and once we have a record that can be made that's a positive record to support the goals that we agree upon. So these listening sessions have been very helpful to us so far. We've completed the listening sessions on the digital television transition. We're going to put together now a bipartisan bill, and both the staff of minority and majority will be working on that. It will be, I believe, quite similar to the House staff draft that is being circulated. We believe that we'll probably put a hard date in that bill of 2009. We're not sure of that yet, but we're working on options for some type of a program to solve the problem of set-top boxes for the analog sets that will still be in the hands of many people who can't afford to replace them right away. I personally think we ought to put out legislation that requires some sort of a warning on analog sets sold after a specific date. These analog sets have every kind of description on them possible to indicate that they are digital, but they're not. and they're all made out of the United States. I think that we've got to find some way to convince people not to sell analog to customers who think they're getting digital sets. We hope that we can move up the date when analog sets can no longer actually be sold in interstate commerce in this country. And the current deadline is June 1st of 2007 for TVs larger than 13 inches that include digital tuners. Now, one of the great problems is to develop a program that funds the analog translators in rural areas so they can receive and transmit digital signals. This has not been really solved by us yet. I do think we will have some suggestions on that. We also want to extend the authority for the spectrum auctions, which currently expires in 2007, and that those auctions have a lot to do with our hard date, which I'm sure you know the CBO scores us very little income for spectrum. The closer the date is to now, and the increases as the date goes out into the future. Actually, Dan and I originated the spectrum sales. I think the times people forget about that. And I really think that at that time, the CBO estimated we'd get revenue of about $250 million from the sale of spectrum. And that first auction, you all remember, was in the billions. We still believe there's going to be an increasing demand for this spectrum when we free it up, and that there is going to be a substantial return if we do it right. These listening sessions really, I think, are going to produce a draft that is going to be acceptable, I believe, on a bipartisan basis within our committee, and I think there will be very little controversy concerning it once we get to that point. These listening sessions we've had on other issues as well. We've heard about the cost of complying with the 50 different sets of regulations issued by state agencies, and we've got a cellular industry that's trying to cope with the different standards for consumers. Bills to the bells, which seek to enter video markets. There's almost a universal concern about the cost and merits of state regulation or local regulation. This is a problem, really, in terms of 30,000 local franchises that would be necessary for each bell to enter the video marketplace. That could be very costly, and really ultimately kill competition, but it's also going to increase the price considerably to the consumer. To address the problem, companies like SBC have gone to state legislators around the country to seek different rules, but 50 state legislators are going to end up with 50 different standards, just like from the basic administrative agencies of the state. So it appears to us now that we ought to think about some kind of a national solution, and this also would apply to the font size on cell phone contracts and advertising making. Uniform contract procedures are almost impossible under the current circumstances. I am one who basically believes in states' rights, but this is getting to the point now where we will have to find a way to deal with these issues that I think confront the industry. We are going to look at the role of states across the board, and when state regulation makes sense, and when it becomes an unnecessary financial burden, not only to the industry but to consumers. We've met with our staffs, I've met with NARUC, and its representatives recently to seek their response to some of the proposals that have been presented to us to preempt state law and to develop national standards that could be implemented at the local level, such as we did when we used to use joint boards. We have a series of basic problems that we have to deal with in terms of the cable industry, from cable to broadcasters, from bells to competitive local exchange carriers. We are still seeking their ideas, and some have been forthcoming with legislative suggestions. We're still waiting for others to present specifics to us, and we have, I'm delighted to see Chairman Martin and the members of the commission here today. We have tried to work with them on a bipartisan basis, but after I suggested that to the chairman, he reminded me of the Sunshine Law, which prohibits the commission from meeting with Congress except two at a time. As a matter of fact, when they come to a hearing, only two of them can be in the room at one time, so they have to sort of change seats as they their time to testify comes up. I do think that that is a real burden. I think, as a matter of fact, as I told the chairman, I don't think the commission could meet with the president together. That is not sunshine. That's stupidity, as far as I'm concerned. We want to find a way to modify these existing laws to promote cooperation and discussion between Congress and its committees and the FCC, and I think we can retain the basic goal of transparency in decision-making at the same time. But my real message for you, and that's why I'm pleased to come to be able to give you a rundown on what we're doing, is to solicit your advice also. As a matter of fact, if you want to put together a listening session for us with members of your organization, we'd be glad to do that. As practicing attorneys, you probably know more about many of the problems we're trying to seek answers to than anyone else. So we'd be happy to listen to you also, and hope you will want to make some suggestions. Senator Noy and I will listen to you and would like to have the suggestions. We'd like to have just as many suggestions as we can to make sure that when we finally get that bill that's presented to the committee and then to the Senate, we don't face problems we don't understand. We may not agree with entirely, but at least we will have heard the problems that you wish to have discussed and tried to find out whether those are problems we ought to solve in this bill we're working on now. We'll be working a lot of other things before we're through in the Commerce Committee. One of them is the problem of laws that have expired. Soon after I became chairman, the Inspector General of the Department of Commerce came to see me to tell me that I ought to become aware as chairman of the number of laws that affected the jurisdiction of our committee that have actually expired in the past and need at least reviewed it to determine whether they should be left totally off the law books of our country. We're doing that now, and we're going to have a list of bills that we believe should be subject to renewal. The sunset concept is a good one, as long as someone pays attention to when the sun goes down. And we believe there ought to be a little sunrise around here once in a while, too.